Blog Talk Radio.
Time to labrish. Gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is your host, Margaret Marshall, and I'd like to welcome you to this evening's segment of our show, Backyard Labrish. You're listening to us on Blog Talk Radio, and we are here each week to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich culture of Jamaica. Oh, dear. I think I'm off the air. Wow. Oh, dear. What can I do? What can I do? Come on. Oh, no. What is this? I don't know. Nothing. Actually, I'm overloaded. What? Hello. Is 631451 able to hear me? Okay. Hi, this is Margaret. Who do I have here?
Hi, Margaret. This is Janine. We can hear you.
I got off the air. I don't know if the station is having problems. Did you hear me when I started?
Yes, and even your little comments, we were able to hear you. Yeah.
Well, the board just went dead. And right now it's streaming, so I have no idea what that means. I'm expecting my guest to call in, and I don't know if they're having problems calling.
Oh, because I tried to raise my hand before to let you know that we are hearing you, but
right,
it didn't go through.
So. All right.
But I'm hearing you now.
Okay. Well, would you just keep some conversation? I think the host is trying to tell me that, I mean, the guest is trying to tell me that she can't get in. So just keep the evening going for me till I get back with you. I'll be right back. Well, I'm having technical difficulties.
Okay.
I'd like to welcome our listeners to Backyard Labrish. We seem to have had a technical difficulty earlier, and I apologize for that. I expect my guests to call in any minute now, but Janine, I want to thank you for hanging in there with us, you know, with these high-tech situations. You never know what's going to go wrong, and sometimes it's out of our control. Right now, my switchboard is saying that the show is on but not streaming. I have no idea what that is, and it's telling me I have no callers.
Oh.
I can see your hands raised, and there are other numbers on the board. They haven't raised their hands, but I don't know if the switchboard is having, if the you know, the office, the technical platform is having some problems. But since you can hear me, I am hoping that it is actually streaming online.
Okay.
However, so I'm going to welcome our callers online and hope that you will be able to follow through with me. I'm not able to interact with you online because I'm not able to do two things at the same time, so do forgive me. So for those of you who are listening, you're listening to Backyard Labrish. This evening, I am hoping to welcome our special guests. Last week, we had a little technical problems, too, with a lot of static on the line when the the guest called in, and then it never cleared up. I mean, we were not able to get her at all. But, you know, sometimes depending on the satellites at different places, there can be little bugs, and things just don't work right sometimes. So I apologize. But for those of you who can hear me, I want to welcome you to the backyard. We are here each week on a Wednesday to celebrate the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica. And it's interesting because this evening I have a new guest. When I say a new guest, I don't think many of our guests that we have had in the last couple of weeks have been on our show before. But this is the first time that this particular person will be on. I'm hoping they'll call in a minute. They happen to be here in the Atlanta area, and it seems like we're having some technical difficulty with this section of the country. I see 718-379 is on the board. If you'd like to interact with the Labrish, you can let me know by raising your hands, hitting 1 on your telephone. I just want to know if you're receiving the information I'm giving. However, what I wanted to share with you is that, you know, we know that we are so diverse in Jamaica. We come in all shapes and sizes, colors, and countries of origin, and also different beliefs and habits and practices. And that's what makes it such a beautiful melting pot and a beautiful mixture. So I was just about to open the mic for my caller, but I lost them too. Anyway, our guests this evening, I'm hoping they can get through. I haven't seen them yet on the board, but I am expecting to have Sandra Fraser, who is a Jamaican-born psychic, intuitive. She's a Reiki master teacher, a spiritual motivational speaker, and the author of spiritual poems. I find this so interesting because I think a couple of months ago, Janine, if you'll remember, we had a guest from New York who wrote her own poems. Do you remember her?
Yes, I think she's from the Bronx.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight we're hoping, if they ever get through, to have this writer of spiritual poems.
Oh.
Now, she's married to a Jamaican, someone who was born of Jamaican parents but born in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
They have 2 sons and a daughter, and she told me that she and her husband would be on the show tonight. I haven't seen them on the board yet, so I am hoping I don't run into the same problems that we experienced last week with them not being able to get through. But, you know, these are some of the things. The technology now is just fabulous. I mean, it just never fails to intrigue me. But, you know, a lot of times we get these little bugs. My board is saying that the show is not streaming. I suppose that means that it's not being recorded. That could be what it means. Because as my listeners know, I'm a senior, so I don't really have as many technical skills as the younger generation. But, you know, with what I have, I am so excited about utilizing it that I can't learn enough. I don't have enough time to learn all of these neat things that we're coming out with, the world is coming out with. So I see 718-379 has a raised hand, so I'm going to open up the mic. Good evening. This is Margaret. Welcome to the backyard. Who do I have?
You have Leigh from the Bronx.
Ooh, hold on.
Of the New York Yankees, soon to be the world champion.
All right. Well, I know that what all the accolades you have been giving them every time you call in has certainly helped them with good energy.
Well, they better win tonight.
I thought that was funny because regardless of whether they were playing or not, you were always from the Bronx, home of the Yankees.
Right.
So, game going on as we speak?
Yes. I wanted to say you're coming through loud and clear here.
You are.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it says on the board that my show is not streaming. And I have not, my guests who live in the same area that I do has not appeared on the board.
And
they called me and on this number, and I went off to talk to them for a minute, and apparently they're not able to get back on. So,
well, what happened is I was on before, and I saw a call coming in from someplace in Georgia.
Oh.
And I went off to answer it, and it was not one of your people or... You know, it was just a coincidence.
I see. Well, I said I have a call coming in from 678-389 with a raised hand.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that hopefully that is my guest, Sandra. And she told me that her husband would also be on with her. So I'm going to open up the mic in a minute to welcome her. And as I told my listeners, that will be taking us back to when she grew up in Jamaica and her early school days. But she's quite a talented Jamaican-born woman who's going to tell us a little bit about herself. So I'm opening up the mic to 678-389. Good evening. You're on the air. This is Margaret.
This is Sandra and Jerry. Are we coming through? Because we were having some problems before.
Yes, you are, Sandra. Welcome to the backyard.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And how are you both doing this evening?
We're doing wonderful. The weather is wonderful. Can't complain.
You know, it was such a beautiful day in Atlanta today. And for my New York listeners, I know you're having a wonderful time up there with watching your favorite team win the World Series. But I can tell you, I enjoyed this city so much today. I was just riding around, looking at the leaves. The weather was perfect. Last night, the full moon was in its perfection. And the city is just aglow with colors. For I've been here since 1983, and I've never seen the city look more beautiful. I mean, it's just a blessing to be on the planet and to be here in this wonderful city today. So with that said, I'll get back to my guest, because you know how I get so inspired. Just I happen to be around for such a long time. So, Sandra and Jerry, I'd like to welcome you. Did I get the names right?
Yes, Sandra and Jerry, yes.
I told my listeners before that, Sandra, you were born in Jamaica, but Jerry is my first Jamaican who would be actually talking to us perhaps about being raised by Jamaican parents in the United States. I thought that would be quite interesting for us to get a peek at that, because my children and several of our listeners and fans have children that were raised here, but, you know, it's good to get their perspective of what they might have gotten from their Jamaican parents that would be special. So let me
get out here,
Sandra. You want to tell us a little bit about your growing up in Jamaica?
Well, I can remember when I think of Jamaica at the point that I am now, I have told people that for some odd reason, it has been bringing such emotional feelings to me. It is this for the first time in over, my goodness, I think 30-something years, I actually really, truly, genuinely miss my people and my country. Because the Jamaica that I remember, you know, we can't negate that at certain points and places life could be hard. But I do remember a very loving, caring Jamaica, one where people look out for each other. I remember my mom. My mom was what you would call a hey mom kind of mom way before that was in style. When I was growing up, she always had two jobs and rode her bicycle back and forth to each job. and it was always someone next door or someone in the vicinity that kept an eye on your children. You never have to worry about that anything was going to, you know, happen or go wrong with them. I remember sitting under the Bombay mango tree, waiting for the mangoes to fall, or picking ackee, and, you know, with friends, just throwing something together. Or I think the things that I always tell my children about was Christmas market. I don't know if they still have that.
Oh, yes, we are. Both of our listeners can remember the wonderful times we had at Christmas market. So tell us
And, I mean, I remember getting on the bus maybe 4 o'clock in the morning and stay till the sun came up. And regardless of how simple the toy might have been that you were able to buy, it was just so wonderful and magnificent. Everyone came home, neighbors shared the wine. And I tell my kids that I do remember drinking wine as a child. You know, you was allowed to have a couple of sips here
right.
and there, some cake. And, I mean, when I think of it, it was just a wonderful time. I can't think of anything that might have felt, you know, bad.
Right. What I can vouch for is that even the people who might have been considered deprived.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when you drove into the country parts and you get into a little town which would be like the center of that part of the island,
mm-hmm.
and music would always be playing in the square, as we would call it. And no matter, you would see a group of children there, and perhaps they have no shoes on because, you know, that's not required but in the hot acre. But, I mean, they don't look like they were rich from rich families or whatever they call them at the time, kind of families, even middle class. They were poor children. But they were happy, they were dancing, you know, as long as the music was playing, their pants could be torn, but they were jigging and carrying on, and it was just a happy time. You know,
it was a lot of fun. Yeah, people were less materialistic, so you were able to stay, I would think, whether they recognized it or not, more in connection with your soul, with your true self, you know, and with making connection with other people. That's what we depended on, being connected on that level, which with all the things granted, moving ahead in society and having all the trimmings and stuff does serve a wonderful purpose, but not to the point when it takes away your sense of being. And I think that's what was present at that time, a great sense of being.
Well, that's interesting that you said that, because what I think I hear you saying is that might be what is missing now, that connection, because you are more in touch with your soul.
Yeah.
And
you were conscious of, you know, not, you know, I don't want to paint this overly everything perfect picture, because wherever you are, there's always going to be, you know, things going on. But I would say that from my memory, from the most of it, people genuinely, you know, tried to care about each other and were considerate of, you know, how something would affect another person. But I think somewhere along the way, trying to make it in the bling bling world, you know, people have lost that, and those who had it are choosing not to teach that to their children.
Right, right. Interesting perspective. And I would like to tell you that we have two of our fans on the board with hands up. So I want them to feel free to let us know if they have a comment or a question, because your mics are still open. And that would be 631-451 and 718-379. Your mics are still open. So if you would like to interact with our guest Sandra, please feel free to do so. So, Sandra, back to you.
And Jerry.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
I want to hear from Jerry.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Jerry.
What do you want to hear?
Well, Jerry, where are you speaking from?
Right now I'm speaking from Atlanta, Georgia, but in retrospect to the conversation and the topic, even though I am as the host amply put it, I am a Jamaican, which means that my parents, my mother and father, were from Jamaica. My father from St. Mary, my mother from Kingston.
Okay,
and
what part of St. Mary were your father from?
Now you know better than to ask a Jamaican that, because I will have no idea what part of St. Mary he's from.
Oh, I thought maybe at some point you even visited.
I don't even remember, because it's been a minute. But
the only reason I ask is because I'm familiar with St. Mary, and it's a beautiful country up there. Nice people.
I've always heard those things, and but my father and mother, they were Jamaican. I mean, to the core. I grew up listening to Lord Melody. I mean, that's all we played in the house. My mother and father danced and Lord Melody and Harry Belafonte and, you know, traditional things. But it was great, and we ate Jamaican food, and the culture was deep in them. And some of it, you know, was embedded in us as a family. And that's where we always go back to as far as my roots. I can always say I can go back there. No place I can go, I know that much. I can go back there.
Interesting. Now, have you actually, so you have not visited St. Mary recently?
I have. No, my sister and my younger brother, they are quite the travelers. They go back and forth on the regular.
Now,
and
are your parents still alive?
No, both my parents have passed.
Oh, wow.
But,
interesting. Now, back to Sandra. Do you remember your early school days as to, you? First of all, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Kingston, and I remember the early part, as far back as I can remember, we lived on, it was down by Fort Show Road, which is close to the sea.
Uh-huh.
And I remember that as always, I don't know if that still happens now, at that time, you went to what was called private school before you actually went to the public school.
Right, right.
So, of course, I remember going to a private school in the area. And it's funny, when you talked about the kids running around without shoes, I remember my mom would always leave our clothes and our shoes out. So she would leave before we did, and so did my dad. So we would dress ourselves and just walk maybe a block down to school with the other kids. But I remember always going to school, and we were not wealthy. I think we were really considered, you know, not poor, but not middle class. So it's not that I had a shoe for church and a shoe for school, and that was it. But my mom, being a very proud person, it was always that you had better wear your shoe. But I looked at the kids who came to school without shoes as being so free.
Right.
So I wanted to experience that. So, of course, one day I went to school without shoes, and I left my shoes in the same spot that my mom left it. So when she returned, she realized the shoe had not been moved. So you must have gone to school without shoes that day and, of course, embarrassed her. So I guess my little behind paid a little price for that.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. So that memory has never left me. And then I remember my mom, it's funny, I was listening to someone else's show, I don't remember who it is, talking about a young lady that wrote the book on Kendall Crash.
Uh-huh.
And that was a very big memory for me, because I remember my mom was on that train.
Wow.
And I remember so vividly my dad, our house was right above the railroad track. And I remember waiting there with my brothers and my dad as each train was pulling to see if my mom was on that train. And I remember with each time, now, you know, I can look at it and not be sad about it, but I remember as each train would pull in and pull out with my mom, without my mom, my dad would faint. You know, that much I remember. It's not something to laugh at, but I can at this time laugh at it.
He would sing?
Excuse me?
Did you say he would sing?
He would faint as the train would pull in and pull out my mom. Yeah.
Yes.
I can recall seeing my dad, where he was standing, and, you know, seeing him faint at the thought that she might not return, but she did, you know, with a few scrapes and broken bones. And after that, my journey was, I think back then, for public school, it was pretty prestigious to be able to be a part of St. George's Girls School, which is where I went to school for my, I guess, elementary years.
Uh-huh.
And that was, you know, interesting within itself. It was good times and bad times. And after that, my mom migrated to the U.S., and I attended, what was the name of that school? I cannot think of it. St. Monica's College, which was a private school. And then at the age of 15, I came to the United States.
Wow. Now, do you still have family there in Jamaica?
Yes, I have family there. I have aunts, and most of my family have either gone to England or Canada. So the ones that are there are more likely returning other than you have remained there.
Uh-huh. So let me ask you this now. What do you think your, you know, your experiences as a young person in Jamaica, growing up there till the age of 15, what nuggets from that period you think you brought into your adulthood with you that you can pass on to your children?
I think an extremely great sense of family. You know, granted, as I journeyed towards this spiritual path, which is extremely different than what my brothers are in, that over the years have created some form of a distance, and that's just life as it is. But I remember my mom emphasizing that family was important to the point that the old phrase, which I have told to my kids, she said, if it was four of us, so she would always say, if it's one piece of bread, you cut it in four.
Mm-hmm.
And that was drummed in our head in such a way that it's just something that you would not have forgotten. So
right.
That's one of the things that I remember. And I also tell my children that sometimes, I don't mean it, I'm just saying it jokingly, I think the way that we were brought up was somewhat of, not a curse, I just use the word that way, but not that I sincerely mean that, because we were taught to be so considerate, to be so caring, you know, the whole manners, the whole thing. And sometimes when you live in a world where that basically, for the most part, doesn't exist, it can be very difficult being the one carrying the torch of
uh-huh.
that type of mentality and thinking. So
right.
I remember that part pretty clear.
Right, I got you. So you were what in you had how many brothers and sisters?
I have one older brother and two younger brothers, no sisters.
Oh, so you are sort of in the middle. Oh, you're the only girl, and you're in the middle.
I'm the only girl, yeah.
You are in the middle, yes. Oh, interesting, very interesting. And all of your school experience was in Kingston?
Yes. Until 15, I came here, and I went to high school and, 3 years of college in the United States, yes.
Oh, I got you. So I'm sure that is anybody on the board that went to St. George's? What period did you go to St. George's?
I remember it has to have been in the 60s. I remember, I think, Haile Selassie came and we lined up outside to see him. I think that's as far as I can remember, but it has to have been in the 60s.
Right, right, right. So what, did you find a big difference did you have a challenge in adjusting when you came here at 15 to the system here, or the transition was smooth?
Yes, because I went to, I think it was a little bit of both. You know, I came up having friends who was already here, so, you know, you always connected and all of that. But in school, we were so somewhat of an outcast, and at the time, I happened to go to a school that was predominantly white, so it was quite easy to tell us to go back on the banana boat. You know.
Oh,
the,
my
to,
goodness.
To figure
but
out
what about academic?
The banana boat.
How did you merge into this system academically?
I think it was in the beginning a little difficult, and then you kind of felt embarrassed because you pronounce things different than, you know, others did. So that was looked upon as something really, odd, where you kind of felt left out. So I found what we did was attempt to stay amongst each other. But academically, I did well when I wanted to. And I was one of those people that was more of a dreamer, and I was never a lover of school. And I think depending on where you want to go with it and where it has taken me today, has turned out for me that it didn't matter, but I always wanted to do something else beyond the stars.
Being a classic
was just so, you know, mundane for me.
Mm-hmm. So were you having, I have you, your promo. I told my listeners that you're a Jamaican-born psychic, intuitive, Reiki master teacher and spiritual motivational speaker and author of spiritual poems. And, you know, we've had some writers of poems on our show before, and I wondered if you brought any of your poems with you that you would like to share with us.
I wish I did. I do have a few that has been published in one particular metaphysical magazine, or if you're in the Atlanta area, the Oracle.
Uh-huh.
But I did not know that, and I did not bring it. And usually with my poems, they're usually what we call channeled information.
Uh-huh.
It's usually something that usually comes through. So I can give a small one that I can recall from memory. And it says, each incident created is an opportunity to put your best self forward. Do well so you may live in peace with self. And in essence, do you want me to repeat it?
Yes, please.
Each incident created is an opportunity to put your best self forward. Do well so you may live in peace with self.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's very inspirational.
The essence of what that is saying, that as we journey through life, if we're able to recognize that everything that we go through, it doesn't matter how sad, mean, ugly, whatever terminology we want to give to it, it's all part of our growth.
Uh-huh.
So if we can see it that way, if we can see that we are creating these incidents, and how you deal and live with it will determine how you're capable of living with yourself.
Excellent. Very good.
I usually do longer ones, but that's a pretty short one that I can remember, you know, at this point.
Right. So let me ask you this now. When did you start to develop your intuitivity? I suppose, I don't know if I'm saying it right.
Yeah.
But, recognizing yourself as an intuitive.
I think, once that happened was about 25, 30 years ago. But at that point, I was able to take it further back to remember different incidents that happened in Jamaica. You know, you talk about Duffy and ghosts and all of that. And, of course, I saw my share of it. So I just felt, since to me, it was a culture that was pretty open to that. I don't know if other people feel the same way. So it was somewhat normal to be able to see, you know, other people that have passed on or to hear things. And then when I came to this country, and I think about 22, I moved into a Islamic community, and that was very open-minded towards the concept of extraterrestrials or other entities, all of those things on a mild form. And I stayed there for about 15 years. My children were born there. And Jerry and I met there, and we left, and we both continued on that path, because about 20 years ago is when we really started to get into it. And for me, what really happened, I don't know if a lot of people can relate to it, I knew at that point that for me, mainstream religion was not going to do it for me, and I had a sense that there was something much more grander and something that would make me feel much more free and less afraid of what the ending outcome would be. So I began to question and look into different things. And I remember one day I was laying on my couch, and the next thing I knew at the point is what I had was an out-of-body experience. And I'm traveling down this tunnel. And as I got to the end of the tunnel, the actual what felt like a tunnel was extremely dark. And as I got to the end of the tunnel, it was as if someone had cut out a complete circle. And within that circle area, it was very bright. And then there was a baby's arm with a key. You remember in Jamaica we had those little pretty keys where the top of your house key was kind of flower or
yes.
a little
line? It was a long key. Yes.
Yes. It was a key like that being handed to me. And as I reached for the key, it was like, and you felt yourself just suddenly moving back. And as I continued to come back into my body, I saw different beings, which was appeared human, but much taller and shoulders much broader. And then I was back on the table, and people have asked me what it felt like, and I don't know if I can use a word, but I guess the best way I've described it over the years was a spiritual orgasm. You know, not that that's what it was. It was so of nothing I've ever encountered before. And as I was about to get off the couch to get my son to say, you have to come and see if you can, you know, do this, I was back again. And this time I ended up in Africa, or what I assumed to be Africa, because the people appeared to be on the Maasai, those tall, very tall people.
Uh-huh.
And then I came back in my body. And that was, for me, the beginning of really getting into the spirituality on a whole nother level, along with the fact that Jerry also was having experiences and, you know, seeing pyramids and at the time beginning to channel, and other beings were coming through and they were given names and explanation of things. And my son that was 4 at the time would often tell us that he had other beings that would teach him things, and oh, the stories just goes on and on and on. And as time went on, we became more, as you would say, intuitive, psychic, and, you know, have developed, you know, our abilities, which is much more than, you know, what has been said.
Oh, that I find that so interesting. But what I also find interesting is that mainstream society is now embracing a lot of that, because I, you know, with all the shows that are coming on, you know, Ghost Whisperer, I think it sort of started with the movie Ghost. I know movie.
Did you love that? One of my favorite movies.
yeah. And I think it started to be more popular or accepted after that, you know, because now there are several shows that relate to, I think I was watching one the other night. It comes on right after Dancing with the Stars, and it's really, not Vanished, but another one of those. But it's like this group of people who get together to find out about missing people that have no identity, John Doe, you know, and these people who are murdered or have sort of sending them messages. But that's so popular now on primetime TV that, you know, it's getting more and more mainstream. So, parents still alive?
No, both my parents are dead. And as I continued on the journey, I recall, as I started to have different experiences, and I don't, you know, it is said that Black people don't talk about it. I've always talked about it because I find it fascinating. What has happened to me, Jerry, my kids, it has become the norm for us. And as I began to have visitors and what I would call interdimensional beings that would come, and, you know, if they were coming during the day, I would know and I would be able to tell you I'm having a visit tonight, because my entire back would vibrate. And if Jerry's awake and hears what's going on and describe the sounds or how I would act, I recall my mom used to do the same thing when I was a child.
Oh, really?
And we never understood why was she making those sounds. Really, what she was trying to do was talk. But now I have learned to speak while I'm in that state. It's really somewhat, as you said, ghosts, it's really, like you told Patrick Swayze, concentrate. It's really concentrating, so you can actually open your mouth while you're in the suspended state and explain or say what's going on. So
I suppose, like everything else, you know, has evolved. Technology has evolved. I mean, so many things have changed. So I suppose people who are experiencing that now are perhaps able to comprehend it more, just like I suppose it's being exposed. Society is more exposed to those concepts of, people operating at a different level.
And, you know, the thing about it is it's all about the DNA activating, because we have more information stored in us than scientists want to admit, because they do know this and what they want to put to the mainstream. But as the planet is going through its own evolution and things are changing, the people that are on the planet have to change. And you have to, your body has to activate, because scientifically they tell you that the Earth is vibrating. In the last few years, it has gone from 7, I think it's megahertz, to 13. And as the Earth continues to vibrate at that rate, you have to vibrate to keep up with that rate, or you will not be able to remain within that frequency. And that's why you'll find that so many people are out of sorts, because they're not being able to maintain that level of vibration. Now, as your vibration continues to go up, you're going to have to become more intuitive, because you're tapping into things. Your third eye is becoming open. You're able to see things, hear things. And some people have multitudes of abilities, and some people might have a few. But this is something that we all were born with. But based on conditioning, culture, religion, you know, it was suppressed.
Right. Oh, I'm with you. I'm definitely with you. But I find it very encouraging that your family is all supported, because you're all sort of having the same experience. So
yes, yeah.
What I wanted to ask, you know, going back to your mother and father, when your mother was having those experiences, was she aware of what was happening? You think?
No, because it was just something that no one said anything. And if I can recall, she was not aware. She was aware of, you know, I'll say to people, I don't have anything to hide. I'm an open book. My mom, like many people on the island, went to see the Obeah man and got the oils and burned the frankincense, which we used to complain about, you know, the smell of the frankincense, which I now burn, you know, on a daily basis, but not knowing the properties of it. So she did those things. But beyond that, I don't think she was aware of anything that was happening.
And how did this affect your father? I mean, was he embracing it? Was he, you know, was he bothered by it in any way?
It might just have been looked upon as a bad dream.
Uh-huh.
You know, without any conversation behind it.
Right. Got you. Oh, well, I just find it very fascinating, and I want to remind our listeners, my board went completely off of my screen, but I know you can hear me, it's back, that you're listening to Blog Talk Radio. We're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock, and we're chilling in the backyard, celebrating the rich culture of Jamaica, you know, and again, I'm sure all our listeners will agree, Jamaica is so diversified, and we did some history on it during History Month last year, and I'm sure we'll do the same thing last year, which was, to me, was so interesting, because I learned so much more about, you know, why the culture is the way it is by doing the research. And we have so many different cultures intertwined, you know, in us, not only in our habits, in our personalities, and I'm sure you will agree, in our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to actually ask you, if now that you've been in the United States for such a long time, I don't even know what age group you're in when I say that. You know, I keep thinking that. I know you came here before independence, right?
No. Independence was 62. I'm 56, and I came in 1970.
Oh, it was 62. I don't even
I think
I'm
so.
That
yeah.
That.
1962.
Right, but what I wanted to ask you: have you been back to Jamaica?
I went back to Jamaica in 1979, I think it was. That was the last time.
I know a lot of people say, you know, that people that are into spirituality say that sometimes being certain places make them be more attuned to their spirituality or their gift or something. And I wanted to know if you sort of had the same experience or does it make any difference where you are?
I think at a certain level it doesn't make any difference. So where, you know, and I'm not being arrogant, I'm just being real. The level that my family and I are, I don't think at this point it would make any difference. But prior to that, I do believe it does, because I think depending on the culture that you are, people tend to be more open-minded about certain things. And sometimes even though you might have intuitive abilities and all of these things, you might have to take some classes to enhance that. So where you are does make a difference, and I find that being in this country, I mean, people are waking up all over the place and, you know, open-minded to things, but I find that the movement in this part of the world seems to be much more embracing than it would be elsewhere, especially in a culture where church and religion plays a very big part. And I think that's one reason why there's low vibration energy and there's high vibration energy. But I think that's one reason why, as I think back as a child, you know, the Obia man, the Obia woman was considered a negative thing. And I think that's because, not saying there weren't those who did negative things, but there were many who were very positive and very spiritual people. But they were never given that credit based on religion and cultural upbringing.
Got you. So let's talk about the children now. Are you saying that the children are intuitive too?
Yes, my children are. They're
how
not
old
really
are
children.
They?
My daughter is 29. My oldest son is 32, and my baby is 19. And they're all psychic. They do readings. They're Reiki masters.
Really?
My daughter's school of thought is more on the goddess level, empowering women. Because we are moving into a feminine energy, and it's not an energy where you're saying down with the man. It's a balancement of energy where the feminine energy has to rise, because Mother Earth is a feminine, you know, energy. So she deals mainly on that. My son, my 19-year-old, he's going to be going to school he wants to be a chef, because he sees that as alchemy, because he's really into things like how to use different oils for therapeutic values and moon magic and all of those things. He's fascinated with anything that makes him think he's in his lab in Egypt doing, you know, all that kind of stuff. But
well,
we basically do the same thing.
Uh-huh. And was that the youngest one you're describing, the 19-year-old?
Yes, the 19-year-old, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you're really blessed to have, you know, all the support of your family and all of you sort of on the same page.
And that makes it much easier. And, you know, just a note to say to people, everyone has these abilities. And that's what Jerry and I, we teach classes on how to develop your abilities. We teach you how to be a Reiki master, all of those things. But the main thing we want everyone to know, this is not, I hate when someone says this is a gift. If this is a gift, then you're saying to me that the source, creator, I don't care what you call it, choose me and lets you as chopped meat? No. It's just a matter of tapping into that energy, tapping into that ability, and developing it to the point where you can do the things that we are doing. And I find that a lot of children, these gifts come forth while you're young, but most parents, when your child says, oh, I have these imaginary friends, and I have that, da, 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 oh, that's not real. Be quiet about that. The minute you do that, you close the third eye. So the child becomes an adult where this thing has been suppressed. My 6-year-old granddaughter can tell you about friends she is in Africa, and we know they're real. or she tells you about the fairies in the woods or and give you names and everything, and can give you a reading and tell you how many angels she sees around you, if you choose to call them angels or whatever word they are. So it's just about encouraging your children when they see things or they feel things, have a conversation about it and bring it up, you know, keep it on the surface.
Excellent. Well, I would like to hear, I'm sure that our male listener on the phone perhaps would like to know Jerry's perspective of all of this. Jerry, are you there?
I'm right here.
Mr. Jamerican?
This is me, the Jamerican, yes.
Have you been called that before?
I've heard that term for a number of years. Yes, I have.
Oh, okay.
And I find it to be an endearing term.
Oh, well, I'm glad you did.
Yes. But my perspective on all this here is basically the same as with Sandra in this journey. We share a lot of those abilities together. And as you said, the beauty of it all is the fact that we're all one family doing the same thing. What makes this here journey much easier. It's much difficult for someone who may be by themselves in a household or in a situation where they're the only ones that are aware or have abilities that the other family members don't have. And a lot of times, most people are ostracized from the family because they're not understood. And being understood is very, very important in this journey. So, yes, the same thing she said, I can reiterate by saying that, you know, the abilities that everyone has, we all have to learn to tune in or develop our abilities and raise ourselves to a higher level of vibration.
Yes,
the
Bible says, Jesus said, you know, what I can do, you can do more. You can do also, you know, that was said many times in some of the chapters. But what about your parents? Were your parents intuitive or, I mean, was it obvious to you?
Well, my mother more so than my father. I think my father, well, being that he came here, you know, to work, that was his thing, to come here to work and to raise us. I have five brothers and two sisters, so we had quite a large family.
The older you were born here.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
All of us born here in this country. My mother was the one that was one that could see things, know things. But as Sandra said back then, it wasn't looked upon as being intuitive or psychic or whatever name you choose to give it. It was just that she just knew things. And we accept the fact that she would know. She would tell us about certain people that we were going out with and saying, don't go out with that girl. She ain't no good. You know how parents kind of can see things you can't see and know things you don't know. And there was times when she would be standing there and she'd know one of us standing behind her. So I see you back there doing this. And I said, how are you doing? And she always teased us by saying she had eyes in the back of her head. And I believed her. I believed her as a child. I believed her. She did, because when I was behind her doing stuff, she would see what I was doing. I just couldn't figure it out. But that was the thing that we were told, so I went with that. But, yeah, my mom was the one that was very very much. And later on, in later years, as I journeyed through this, she became more receptive to it as well. Very receptive to it.
In other words, she had it, but she didn't know she had it. Or she didn't
She didn't know it to be what we now know as being intuitive or psychic or whatever name people choose to give it. You know, being that she was also very religious in the sense of being, you know, Bible raised, you know, I guess she kind of didn't want to see it other than, you know, something on a religious level as opposed to more of a spiritual thing.
I got you. Very interesting. I find all of this very interesting. And again, if any of our listeners on the board, quite a few people on the board, and I know there are people listening online, unfortunately I'm not able to communicate with you, but if any of the listeners on the board would like to make a comment or ask a question of Sandra and Jerry, who are our guests tonight. Sandra is born and raised in Jamaica up to 15. Jerry happens to be our first Jamaican that we're featuring as a guest.
And hopefully not the last.
Beg your pardon?
And hopefully not the last.
Right. No, because Backyard Labrish is here to celebrate enlighten, and preserve the rich culture of Jamaica. And that includes, you know, people who were raised by Jamaicans, and especially those that go back to the period of to the Jamaica we knew. And as I always tell my listeners, and for those of you coming by later on, that one of the things that this platform is about, we're not about politics, and as I say to people, we don't promote any particular product and say this is right or that is right. We're just celebrating what is positive and the positive things that we brought to this other culture that we live in now from our original culture. And as a Jamaican, I'm sure that a lot of your parents, you know, personalities and habits and beliefs were what you got, you know, when you were growing up. That might be a little different from people who were from another part of the world. And I'm sure they all have wonderful stories about where they came from, but I just think I am just so proud of all that I have to celebrate from being blessed by being born and raised in Jamaica. That now that I'm retired and I can really concentrate, you know, before I was here just so busy learning all I could and trying to raise my family, now that I'm retired, I can take the time, because I do think it's important for my generation and to leave a living legacy so that the generations to come can get a glimpse of what life was like on the island. You know, because things change all over the world, and I'm sure it's changing in London and, you know, Australia and all over. And so regardless of the culture, I think it is important now that we have this wonderful technology of being able to archive these shows and these stories. And once they're in cyberspace, and Google, I suppose, will never die. Mr. Google is here forever. So if our grandchildren or great-grandchildren or just another generation down the road, you know, look for information, they will hear our voices and hear our stories. And that is just very, very fascinating to me. So I want to take this opportunity to welcome you and thank you for your contributing to the live stories, because I think, you know, it's important. And one of the reasons that this came home to me even more is because I had quite a few artifacts from my mother and, you know, perhaps some things from her mother too, and they were all destroyed in a fire. So, you know, this platform is the best way to preserve a story. So I am glad you are able to share your stories with us, because it's important. And I want to encourage our listeners and those who might come by later on to listen to the show that, you know, leaving your living story, everybody has their own story. Wouldn't you agree, Sandra? You know, each one of us have a different experience. You know,
you mean being in the island?
Yeah, well, whether you're on the island or anywhere, you know how
people
believe that their story is not important.
Yeah, and it is, because we learn from each other, you know, and sometimes there's so much within that everyone wants to get out. So having a forum where you can just speak and, you know, and see the things that are similar is most definitely important.
Right. You'd be surprised to know how sometimes even one of our listeners might make a comment and somebody else can definitely relate to that perspective, because I get emails all the time that might mention, you know, that they heard this and they can relate to it, you know, and they have their own little comment about it. So you know, it's important to have this platform. And I am so excited to be here on the planet at this time with all of this wonderful explosion of technology around me. And I know a lot of the older people, quite a few of them, are sort of a little intimidated by this kind of technology. But I just want to encourage them to embrace it as much as they can.
Yeah,
So, Sandra,
yes.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us before we sign off tonight?
We just wanted, again, what is really so important to Jerry and I is that everyone understands that we are all important. We're unique yet different at the same time. And everyone has this ability. This ability is important to you. It's about developing your light body, which is known to some people as your Merkaba, Merkaba. You can look that up on the internet. This is a part of your energy field as we move towards 2012. That's the reason why you're seeing all these shows and these different things, because all the secrets have to come forward. And these are just tools and aids to get us to the next level of vibration.
Wonderful. Now, if people want to know more about you or use your services, where would they go?
We have a show on Blog Talk. We've been somewhat on vacation. We'll be back on. It's called The Spiritual Heart. And during the day, we're going to bring that one back on, too. We have another show, The Psychic Hearts of Angels. And both shows are geared towards somewhat giving free mini readings and giving tips on how to develop your own psychic ability. And they can also reach us through The Spiritual Heart at Yahoo. And then we'll make a connection that way.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I want to thank you so much for being our guest. And Jerry.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Yes, well, I want to thank you for being the first Jamaican.
I hold that title.
Here's some words with us.
I hold it in high esteem and honor. Thank you.
You're most welcome. And
I was going to say to Jerry, I hope it's a joke. We're not related, because I didn't know that was your mom from St. Mary? Because your father, because my mom is from St. Mary.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, I never
something
that.
Else. You know, we had something similar happen. We had a guest who talked about her growing up in Bull Savannah. And one of her relatives actually listened to the show and said, I didn't know that. She was telling a story about something. And she wrote me and said, I had no idea. And I had to bring up the fact that, you know, how each individual, two people can look at the same glass, and one see the glass full, one see the glass empty. But as we experience life, people can be in the same environment, but they have different stories about it. They really have different stories about it. So, again, everybody's stories is important, and everybody can contribute something to somebody else's story. Sharing your story with us tonight is quite appreciated, and I'm sure that our listeners will appreciate it too. And if the listener at 646-479 would like to join the Labrish, do let me know. And for our other listeners that are online, if you have any comments, just let me know and I'll open up the mic. But at this time, I would like to again thank you, Sandra and Jerry, and wish you all the best for everything that's coming up. And you talked about, are you writing a book or just more poems?
I am writing a book because I felt I've had a pretty, I don't know how to word this. I guess going back to living, you know, communally for that many years, which was quite odd. I think there might have been about five other Jamaicans there. My whole life has been just one awesome, different that has led me, you know, to this place. And the main emphasis that Jerry and I want people to know is to remove the spookism from the whole thing. This is who we are. We are spiritual, wonderful, awesome beings. We have magnificent powers that has been dormant, and it needs to come alive. And that's really, you know, that's the whole thing of where I came all the way from Jamaica to what happened in between, and, you know, what has taken me to this place. So I had put it on the back burner for a bit, but it's time to pick it back up again.
Well, wonderful. And I applaud you for that.
Thank you.
So I want to thank you for being our guest in the backyard, and I'd like to ask our listeners to continue to spread the Backyard Labrish word so that we can have more people interacting with us. We have such a rich, diverse culture, you know, so that we need to embrace every aspect of it so that the world can know how special the Jamaican culture really is. They know it for its music and its food, but
yeah.
They don't really know a lot. Even when the tourists go to Jamaica, they don't really get a chance to interact. One of my guests that couldn't get on last week because of the technical difficulties, I did a private taping with her, and it's going to be downloaded in the show she was supposed to come on to. But she was telling me that her favorite island, you know, she's traveled all over the Caribbean. I think it's St. Lucia, she said it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her why. And she said perhaps because the visitors that come to that particular island, they interact more with the natives, you know, I suppose because it's smaller and perhaps how the whole visitors thing is arranged, they have a lot of interaction. So the island people get to have a good feel of, you know, people from different countries. And
yeah.
the visitors get more of a feel of not just being there for the climate, but experiencing some of the culture. So I know that is not a big thing in Jamaica because we're so much bigger and, you know, the tourism
mm-hmm.
there is sort of different. And now it's even different than it was perhaps years ago because most of the things are inclusive. You know, once they go there, they're in an enclosed environment. So
yeah.
I think shows like this that, you know, people on the Internet can surf and just listen to these stories. I get to expose them to who we are, perhaps how we think, you know, and what we're all about. And so,
yeah.
you know, I appreciate all the input I can get because this is my passion, to leave this kind of legacy for the next generation or the generations to come. I'm really very passionate about it. And I am thankful that I am, you know, well enough and able enough to just experience it and do it. Because a lot of times people have a passion about something, but they, you know, you never get around to really doing it. So I am just, as to use my little Jamaican slang, I would say I am in my aki. Have you ever heard that?
No.
Yes, man, I'm in my aki. Any of our listeners ever heard that?
No, not me.
Janine, have you heard that phrase?
No.
Oh, man, I'm in my aki. That means, you know, aki is our national food.
Yes.
So that means when you're really feeling sweet, you're really enjoying yourself, you're in your aki. But, you know, I don't know if my favorite fan from the Bronx is on, but we go back way back from Kwati and Jill time, you know, when the English.
Yeah, I remember Kwati.
Big Jill and pint and pound
uh-huh.
and pence. So we had a lot of different phrases, I suppose, during those times that might not be as well known now. But let me ask you, Sandra, before you go, do you remember any memory gems from your Jamaican school experience?
Let me think. Wow. I don't know why this came to mind. I remember the fact that we were beat, you know, we got spanking with a cane. But I remember lunch. I think lunch was really, it wasn't to me what kids get for lunch now. I thought lunch was wonderful. I remember, remember we had houses? What is that what they called it? You had like four groups of houses that you would belong to in school.
Uh-huh.
It might be called something else. I don't remember. I remember having the gardens. Let me tell you what I think I remember. I told my kids that if you went on the trip, like, you know, to the beach or something, a bologna sandwich or corned beef, bully beef would be
bully beef, yes, I remember the bully beef.
Sandwich of the day. you know, those kind of stuff I remember. And I think what stuck with me, which was wonderful too, my mom, I remember my mom getting off work early when the movie The Sound of Music came out. And she
mm-hmm.
took all of us to the Ward Theater
mm.
to see The Sound of Music. And I have watched The Sound of Music almost every year since that.
Oh, yes.
Because that's such a wonderful, wonderful memory.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And I Friday nights not cooking and just the things that are so part of the, I don't know if it still is, but was so part of the culture.
Yes, yes, yes. I just have wonderful memories of growing up there. I mean, just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So, anyway, I want to thank you again, Sandra and Jerry, for being with us this evening. And I want to thank all our guests for being online and also in the backyard. I hope you've enjoyed your favorite chair and you have felt the trade winds blowing across your face as we lavish tonight. And I look forward to seeing you next week. So, if any of our people with the mic open want to say goodnight, now is your time. Silence. Oh, bye, Janine. And Janine, would you tell our listeners where you're calling from?
I'm calling from Long Island, New York.
Okay, all righty.
Oh, I lived in Long Island in Roosevelt in the 70s. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Long time ago.
And I enjoyed listening to what you had to say, you know.
Well, thank you, Janine.
I agree
yes,
with your
you.
Family was a very important part of our life growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, respect and other things we had to show to others. And it's completely different now, but, you know, I guess.
And that's why we have to keep telling our stories so people will know that, you know, It can be different again. You know, people just
right.
have to start loving each other, respecting each other, and respecting themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And hopefully if there's more positive energy being radiated, it will uplift the everything. You know, as Sandra said, you know, we need to uplift the whole planet.
Right.
But,
happening. It is happening around the world. We can't base what we see on the news. You know, very rare do I watch the news. I mean, you have to be informed what goes on in your environment, but don't base what you see on the news. There are so many pockets of people coming into enlightenment doing wonderful things.
Oh, yes.
So,
I feel very good about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I'm going to say goodnight to our listeners. Goodnight from the backyard. And thank you again for being our guests, Jerry and Sandra. And I look forward to having you again.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So make a great week.
Thanks.
And I will see you in the backyard next Wednesday at 8 o'clock.
Night.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.